This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Next year, Malaysia Debt Ventures, a government agency under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, hits a milestone, its 20th year anniversary. So timely that we speak to its CEO, Niza Mohammad Nazri, on the challenges it faced during this pandemic, what have been their achievements since they have disbursed more than 20 billion ringgit, and their role as Malaysia attempts to achieve its lofty goals of being a high-value-added economy. Welcome, Nizam.
Thank you, Xiaoning. Thank you, BFM, for having me here this morning.
Now, first off, we mentioned COVID-19. So I just want to know, how challenging has it been for MDV to operate in this COVID-19 crisis? Because clearly one of your mandates is to provide support for economic recovery.
Essentially, what we did was we prepared beforehand. In February, I think we started with a dry run of how MDV would work in terms of going through the credit papers, looking at the disbursements, getting the legal documents out to the various teams. So the processes, I think we worked well beforehand and it was refined in between. It was a bit challenging, but we were able to continue to support our customers, especially those looking for new credit facilities, those that are looking for needed urgent disbursements of funds for their operations.
Now, I understand 64% of your borrowers were offered or took up a six-month deferment of financial payments in the early stages of the COVID-19 crisis, right? So I just want to know, are there still borrowers who are requesting financial assistance? Because I want to get a sense of what business activity on the ground is like with, you know, the many rounds of lockdowns that we've experienced.
For MDV, essentially, we work on a different basis rather than either team facilities or a corporate banking facility. For ours, it is more tied to a cash flow stream. For example, the project financing, renewable energy, some of the e-government infrastructure that payments are coming in for the completed projects. But what the ones that require our help are those that are still in the midst of construction. We have a few biomass plants, a mini hydro. So those were the ones that the construction activities have stopped, they required our assistance. The other parts were the maintenance, the supervision, or the commissioning aspects. The T&B engineers, for example, were not allowed to travel to certify certain sites. The other part especially is the startups. It's a mixed experience. Of course, the ones doing the platform, the e-commerce, actually recorded significant increases, but there are other platform companies. Let's say, for example, the ones that are involved in house renovation.
And how many of your borrowers are still taking up this moratorium, just to get a gauge?
So in the beginning, we had about 54 companies. So now it's about 15. So these are primarily the startups and the ones that are still constructing their facility or plants.
Now, MDV was also entrusted with 100 million by MOF through the Technology Startups Funding Relief Facility, otherwise known as TSFRF. You know, I just want to know, you know, how has all the money been deployed? How?
Firstly, I have to apologize for the name. The SFRF is a bit of a mouthful. We changed it to liquidity financing support for technology startup or LIFs. My apologies to the market and for the tech companies. For that particular part, the team actually enables a bit of agile development. We developed the product and program. It's a totally different program. So the key parts that we had when we were doing it in May and June was that, you know, it's applying for it is not going to be a pain. The processing is going to be fast. Legal documents, it's going to be minimal. And we're going to have quick disbursements.
So do away with bureaucracy and help them as soon as possible. Was that the mantra?
Yeah. So basically, we've thrown away half of the application checklist. We got what is really, really required for us. Also bearing in mind that these are startups. The original plan was also to have a two-phase application step. So rather than, you know, for a startup give us 20 or so documents, we're looking at 5 documents as a pre-application. We brought in our sister agencies, Magic, Cradle and MathCap, to assist in the pre-screening. So once they pass the pre-screen, then we would basically impose on them to give the additional documents. But I think we found out that, you know, once we started the initial application process, there were already expectations, so, you know, we had to review that particular process. It's also not fair on them or given the expectation. The second part, processing, it's basically form-based. If you can appreciate, you know, lending is basically, you know, you lend based on collateral. And what we do currently for project and contract financing, we lend based on the cash flow. But for startups, we're lending based on the valuation of the company through the equity kicker that we have. So for this, we had to revamp basically the forms. So we were looking at the key areas, for example, VC backing, experience of the management team, the track record, okay, and so forth. We minimized the financial part. What we were looking at is in terms of the potential of these companies to get follow-on funding from VCs, or for VCs to come in or other investors to come in. So that required a revamp. For the legal documents, I just signed a couple, but basically that's about a foot thick.
Now, I want to go back to the fact that, you know, MDV, Malaysia Debt Ventures, is almost 20 years. I think the Malaysian taxpayer would like to know, what have been its achievements? Do we have some hard figures?
Directly, I'm glad to report that we have the tangible results, essentially to support the technology sector. In terms of the direct contribution, the 12 billion in funding that we dispersed to the 900 customers, that basically built up more than about 1,000 projects. We have built 5,000 3G and 4G towers to facilitate the communication, the wireless broadband. The other parts of it, 150 megawatts worth of renewable energy was financed by MDV. In terms of green technology, we were the leading financier in terms of green projects, especially renewable energy. For that, the income generated by our customers is about 25 billion that was generated by our customers, supported about an additional 25,000 employees. But the other aspects of it, what is not seen is that some of the projects that we financed were in relation to e-government infrastructure, certain infrastructure that made some of the processes within the government more transparent.
Going back to your core mandate of MDV, I mean, it was, or it still is probably, to fill in the lending gap for technology companies in a nascent stage who want to expand but because of size have no access to banks or capital markets. But with that, does it come with its own set of risks? Because usually there isn't any form of collateral.
I think when we first started, basically, there were a few iterations in terms of our business model. I think what we settled on is, yes, tech companies require, but especially for more for the projects or contract financing. For unfortunately for MDV, given the source of our funding, the returns, that is the charges that we impose, the fees that we impose, we can't take on market risk. But what we do is we look at execution of performance risk, hence the project or contract financing. So what we're looking at, directly from how we were birthed out of MAFCAT, actually, we were looking at, you know, at that point in time, there were the large ICT projects, for example, the IC program. There were like 7 multimedia flagships, if you have to recall. This required something much more than equity. So basically, then the debt portion was carved out. So basically, what we developed was a project of contract financing for technology projects. So there would be a definite stream of cash flow, of course, still subject to the performance execution or the ability of the company to continuously carry out during over the project period. So that's how we mitigate the risk. But albeit having said that, it is still risky. The one that we are dealing in terms of, let's say, for example, an IT project, for an e-government project, the servers, the PCs are generally obsolete as soon as you take them out of the box. Technology refreshes are required at every 3 years. So those are, you do need to take those into consideration. But having said that, there are the key part that we look at is, let's say if it's a turnkey project, we look at the experience, the capability of the project management team. Let's say if you were implementing.
So this is your due diligence process before you.
Yeah. So there would be two parts, actually, assessment of the project and the verification part of it. But we do need to assess it. But having said that, there are a number of factors, external factors, black swan, so to speak, that comes in. For example, I mean, if you're building the technology project, you know, generally they would build in about 15 to 20% within the pricing itself, variation orders. But for one of the projects that we financed, 80%, it was an 80% variation orders that came in. It was a totally entirely new project. So those are the things that we try to manage once we are on board together with the customer.
But does this then explain why MDV's gross impact financing ratio remains elevated at 23% as at December last year? Similarly, reflected by a lofty credit cost ratio of 1.9%. Is there any way then to address the credit profile on a sustainable basis and improve it?
From 2015, actually, we took, I think, significant steps to revamp our credit process. So if you were to look at that particular impairments from that particular era, our impairment rate is about 5%. There are some of the older loans that we're looking at that we are trying to resolve. But going forward, basically, I think the other part of it, our target is actually to bring it below 10%, bring it in single digit. But I think what was affected is the reduction of our portfolio. I think from a high of 1.6 billion, right now it's about 850 million. That really pushed up our gross impairment rate. But I think what we are looking at by the end of the year, with new accounts coming in, with the resolution of some of the older accounts, we're looking to bring it down to 9 to 10% by the end of this year.
But I also read this RAM report with interest. They've assigned a AA3 rating for MDV, but there also were points in there which made me ponder. In particular, they highlighted the concentration risk, of which half of the lending is with 10 borrowers. 40% is in green tech, 51% is ICT. Do you think this is too much of a concentration risk? And if any fail, will create a large hole for MDV?
For those, for the ICT portion, basically there are solid concessionary agreements between the federal authorities, between the government, basically. So that mitigates the risk, and those projects have been completed. Secondly, for renewable energy, it used to be a large part of our portfolio. At one point in time, we had about 800 million exposure in renewable energy projects. But given that for our 208 series Sukuk issuance, there are 400 million due next year, actually 300 in January, and in September, October, another 100 million. We have been calling back these loans. Calling back, I mean, it's not that we are pulling the rug from under them. We were working with friendly bankers for them to take these loans out of our books. So that exposure has been reduced. But having said that, for renewable energy, it's actually the safest part of our portfolio.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today in the hot seat is Nizam Mohamed, the CEO of Malaysian Debt Ventures. When we come back, a continued look at the financials and what is their role in pushing Malaysia's digital agenda. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. Today we're speaking to Nizam Mohamed Nazri, CEO of Malaysia Debt Ventures. Before the break, we were asking if MDV's development mandate always results in a weak credit profile. Now, Nizam, I want to stay on the financials just a little bit longer.
Sure.
And, you know, you mentioned this earlier that MDV is targeting to lower the impairment to 10%. And I see that in your annual report, the 2021, there's a move towards strengthening financial resources and liquidity. But how are you going to achieve this 10% from where you are? Is it just down to having better due diligence?
A few things, actually. One, like you rightly pointed out, the due diligence process, the assessment process. Second is the structure of the financing that we give out in terms of the condition precedents. You need to make sure that all the right conditions are in. The disbursement conditions, we release the money upon the satisfaction, the achieving of certain milestones, and third, the financial and non-financial covenants. I'm confident of us achieving this target is that from 2015, if you look at the portfolio of those companies, they were of much better quality. I can't actually take credit for that myself, but in terms of the the quality of the project managers or system integrators that have been appointed significantly improved. We have people, and they were working with certain technology partners that helped them achieve this. So that's then the other part is that we have slightly more extensive monitoring regime. We have our own engineering team, our loan monitoring, that goes out, that checks independently the progress of the various projects. For example, the renewable energy sites, they talk to the project sponsors, the contract awarders, to get any insights. So we would get early warning if any problems were arising. Therefore, we can address this early. And that's the final part is that we have a watch list committee chaired by our chief risk officer. So that basically looks at the current accounts. So we have a list of companies that are still doing well, but for example, based on intelligence, they have slight project delays. So these are addressed early on. So basically, those are the steps taken in place. The final part is in terms of the recovery aspects, where we try to work with the customers where possible to try to resolve the matter. And in this particular case, given that we are looking at project or contract financing, if the contract or project is still ongoing, that's fine. But if not, then we try to look for alternative payments, failing which, of course, we have the legal aspects of it, which I think given the underlying assets that we finance, may not provide for a full recovery. So therefore, the first three items where we look at the assessment, the structure, and the monitoring is quite crucial.
So would you say, Nizam, that you're moving closer towards how conventional banks manage their clients and their loan book? It sounds like it.
The collateral aspects of it.
Okay. But if because if you look at the impairment, even a target of 10% is still going to be much higher than the current entire banking system, which is close to only 2%.
Unfortunately, we don't do mortgages or property, but basically we are financing cash flows. As best as we try, we have to take on certain risks, especially for technology companies. Basically, that is our mandate to ensure that they do have the financing to carry out. But for us, basically, we do feel that the new processes, the new team that we have in place, like I mentioned, from 2015, we have a less than 5% of an impairment rate, the other part. So what we need to ensure is that we have a sufficiently healthy balance sheet that provides sufficient revenues to offset the expected impairment costs that will occur every year. We can't expect, a financial institution that has 40 to 60% commercial consumer-based lending on our side is 100% going towards project financing. So different aspects are between us and the banks. But we do, having said that, we do adopt the Bank Negara guidelines. We are, after all, a financial institution. All the best practices in terms of the governance, the approving, fit and proper aspects of the people within the organization.
Mm. Now, I'm just also curious, because you're a government agency, are there specific financial KPIs for MDV? Is it total funds disbursed? Or is there somebody that monitors your financial return, like perhaps a return on equity, which I calculated is low currently at only 2.8%, because even ministers in this new government are supposed to have KPIs.
We are. Basically, at the end of every financial year, essentially we submit our KPIs for approval to MOF and MOSTI. So essentially it's a balanced scorecard. About 40% is financial. Then basically you would have processes, learning and growth, and customers. So basically for financial, essentially, it's the bottom line, the profits, the loan growth, basically, and our impairment rate.
So are you on target to achieve it? Because like we mentioned earlier, profit was only 6.25 million ringgit last year. Is that something that the government is satisfied with?
On our side, for financials, we are falling back. But in terms of approvals, we do hope we are able to meet the targets. Currently, we have about 400 million loans in the pipeline that we are processing. And by the end of this quarter, we expect another 150 million to come in. So in terms of approvals, that's fine. But disbursements, and therefore the profit numbers, are a bit low. But the other aspects of our KPI is in terms of the not socioeconomic part of it, that we reach a diverse level of, when I mentioned customers, that's basically a measurement of the segment that we reach. You know, we are not just to focus on ICT. So basically we have specific numbers as to how many green technology companies, ICT, and startups that we need to reach out to. So those numbers should mitigate some of the shortfall, in especially in terms of disbursements and approvals.
Meanwhile, when I was doing some research on Malaysia's digital economy and the players involved, I have to say I got confused. And that's because there are many government agencies. So you've got MDEC, you've got Malaysian Global Innovation and Creative Centre, otherwise known as MAGIC, the Cradle Fund, Malaysia Venture Capital Management Berhad, and of course yourselves, Malaysian Debt Ventures. Do you think just too many players involved, and where do you fit in this ecosystem?
Generally, it does take a village, entire village, to raise a child. I think what we need to do is...
But this village seems very crowded, that's the thing, and confusing.
A smart city to raise a child. What we're looking at is actually each has a distinct role. If you look at the value chain from the beginning, we would have MAGIC there. And MDEC, for example, like you mentioned, we have the Bioeconomy Corporation, we have Nanotechnology Corporation. So these are the industry developers. They generate interest and build the entrepreneur base to feed into this particular pipeline. Following that, then basically we have Cradle. Cradle provides grants. So the next leg of the relay race would be the equity financiers, the MEFCAP, the Kumpulan Modal Perdana, the MTDC. Basically, so they would be providing. So once you have the prototypes or other, then basically the VCs would be taking up the mantle and carry on with the baton, so to speak. For MGV, basically, we can come in together with the equity partners or subsequent to them. I think the government is also looking at rationalization. I think it is...
So will MDV be around then?
From the current position, I think what was last announced, basically the government will be looking at three instruments: grants, equity, and debt.
Okay.
So for these instruments, grants would be under the purview of Cradle, equity would be under the purview of MathCat, and debt will be under the will be within MDB's mandate.
On that note, thank you for your time today. And the Breakfast Grill was Niza Muhammad Nazri, CEO of Malaysian Debt Ventures. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.